What if the woman you loved had a twin, and you never realized you were sleeping with both? Identical twin sisters Simone and Sienna shared everything. Clothes, secrets, and a dangerous taste for control. When Simone started dating Mason, a charming, unsuspecting architect, Sienna became obsessed. It started as a prank. One night, she wore her sister's perfume, mimicked her voice, and slept with him in Simone's bed. Mason never noticed. That was the thrill. But the thrill became an addiction, and what began as a twisted sisterly bond turned into an unspoken war. Simone fell in love. Sienna didn't care, until Mason proposed. That's when jealousy curdled into rage, and rage turned into a plan. The man thought he was marrying Simone. Sienna decided she'd destroy them both. This isn't just a story of love and betrayal. It's a psychological thriller where identity becomes a weapon, desire is a trap, and family secrets spiral into criminal obsession. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Game. Simone Hart had always been the calm one. The type of woman who never raised her voice, never showed her hand, and always made it seem like the world was perfectly in place, even when it wasn't. Sienna, her identical twin, was the opposite. Wild, reckless, seductive in a way that didn't ask for permission. They were born within 4 minutes of each other, but they may as well have been raised on different planets. Still, they were bound by something stronger than DNA, shared survival. Their mother, an alcoholic who disappeared when they were 13, had left behind scars that neither therapy nor time could erase. Their father was a ghost, in and out of jail, sometimes calling on birthdays, sometimes not. They only had each other. Simone built walls. Sienna learned how to slip through them. At 28, Simone was an interior designer climbing fast at a boutique Miami firm. Sienna drifted from job to job, bartending, photography, a brief stint as a yoga instructor. But what she lacked in structure, she made up for in magnetism. People fell into her orbit, willingly or not. She was a black hole of charm. When Simone met Mason Caldwell, she didn't introduce him to Sienna for 3 weeks. That was unusual. Normally, Sienna was the first to know everything. Every text, every kiss, every red flag. But this time, Simone was hesitant. Maybe because Mason was different. Or maybe because a part of her already knew what Sienna could do to men. They met at a design conference at the Fontainebleau Hotel. Mason was speaking on sustainable architecture. Simone was presenting a project involving reclaimed wood and vertical gardens. Their eyes met across a table stacked with pamphlets and half-drunk cocktails. He was tall, lean, with a sharp jawline and a voice like smoked whiskey. He listened. He asked thoughtful questions. He made Simone feel like she mattered. Not as someone's sister or someone's employee, but as herself. By the third date, Simone was smitten. By the sixth, they'd slept together. By the tenth, she'd already started picturing his last name after hers, she told Sienna eventually over brunch. His name's Mason, Simone said, buttering a croissant. Sienna arched an eyebrow. Sounds stable. Boring. I like it. Simone laughed. You'd actually like him. He's got this old-school charm. And he's smart. Not just book smart. Real-world smart, you know? Smart men are usually good liars, Sienna said, sipping her mimosa. Be careful. Simone ignored it. 2 weeks later, Sienna met Mason. It was supposed to be quick, a drop-in at Simone's apartment before a work dinner. Simone introduced them, stepped into the bedroom to grab her heels, and returned to find them mid-conversation. Sienna was wearing one of Simone's blouses, silk, low-cut, the kind that hugged curves with casual elegance. Her hair was swept back, eyes locked on Mason like he was a puzzle she'd already solved. "Mason, this is my sister Sienna," Simone had said. "Twins?" Mason asked, surprised. "Identical," Sienna replied, smiling. "But trust me, we're very different." Mason chuckled politely. He looked a little too long. Simone noticed. That night, Sienna messaged Simone. "He's cute. Bit of a square, but cute." Simone didn't respond. The first switch happened 2 nights later. Simone had an emergency client meeting and wouldn't be home until late. She texted Mason to cancel dinner. Sienna, overhearing the conversation from the couch, asked casually, "Where does he live?" "Why?" "No reason, just curious." Simone gave the address. That night, Sienna drove to Mason's apartment wearing Simone's navy wrap dress and signature perfume, jasmine and sandalwood. She knocked on the door, and when he opened it, she didn't say a word. She just kissed him. Mason pulled her inside. They had sex on the kitchen counter, the living room floor, and finally the bed. The next morning, she left before sunrise. Simone returned to a bouquet of lilies and a note that read, "Last night was unforgettable." She smiled. She thought it was for her. Sienna told herself it was a game, a prank. Nothing serious. She just wanted to see if she could pull it off. And she had. The thrill was electric. It made her feel powerful. But once wasn't enough. She started tracking Simone's schedule, waiting for the moments when Simone would be busy or distracted or away. Then she'd slide in, unannounced, uninvited, but always welcomed by Mason, who never questioned a thing. Once Simone called Mason while he was in bed with Sienna. Sienna answered in Simone's voice. "Hey, babe," she said, slipping under the covers. "Can I call you later?" "Of course," Simone said. "Love you." "Love you too." Sienna ended the call, stared at the ceiling, and laughed. Weeks passed. Simone floated in a cloud of romance, oblivious to the storm beneath her feet. Mason remained devoted, attentive, seemingly perfect. And Sienna? Sienna was unraveling. What began as a joke became something else. She started to crave his touch, the way he looked at her, thinking she was Simone. She told herself it didn't matter that he didn't really know who she was. He wanted her, even if he didn't know it. But cracks began to show. One night, Sienna left behind a ring, nothing fancy, just a silver band she always wore. Mason noticed it, but said nothing. Another time, she hummed a song Simone hated while making breakfast. "You never hum," Mason said, laughing. She shrugged. "Maybe I'm just happy." He smiled, but his eyes narrowed slightly. The seed of doubt was planted. The unraveling began when Simone made an announcement over wine and tiramisu. "He's going to propose," she whispered, eyes shining. "I think he's buying the ring." Sienna blinked. "That's fast. It's been 7 months. And you're sure?" "I've never been more sure." That night, Sienna didn't sleep. She paced her apartment, drank wine straight from the bottle, and stared at herself in the mirror. "You had him first. You made him feel things Simone never could. Why should she get the happy ending?" Sienna made a decision. She wouldn't be the secret anymore. The next evening, Simone was out of town for a client meeting. Sienna showed up at Mason's apartment again, but this time she didn't act. She wore her own clothes, used her real voice, knocked on the door and said, "It's me, Sienna." Mason hesitated, then let her in. They sat on the couch, the air heavy with unspoken things. "I need to know," she said. "Did you ever suspect?" Mason didn't respond at first. Then he nodded slowly. I thought something was off. The way you kissed me sometimes. The perfume. But I didn't want to believe it. Then why didn't you stop me?" He stared at her. "Because part of me liked it. Part of me wanted it." They kissed. This time, it wasn't pretend. The next morning, Simone opened her email and found a single photo. Mason and Sienna in bed. His arm draped over her. Her lips pressed against his cheek. Both of them smiling like it was the happiest moment in the world. No message. No explanation. Just the image. Her coffee cup shattered in her hand. Her vision blurred with tears and rage. She had no idea that the man she loved had loved her sister too. And that was only the beginning. Chapter 2. Obsession. Simone didn't scream. She didn't cry. She didn't even reply. She stared at the photo. Her sister's smug smile, Mason's bare chest. The intimacy so obvious, it made her nauseous. Her mind tried to rationalize it. Maybe it was photoshopped. Maybe it was a prank. Maybe... No. She knew better. She had ignored too many signs. The perfume. The changes in behavior. The strange pauses in conversation when she mentioned Mason. And now, the truth was on her screen. Plain as daylight. Her hands trembled as she closed the laptop. 15 minutes later, she was in a cab headed to Mason's. Mason opened the door with a grin, clearly expecting her. The moment he saw her face, the smile vanished. Simone held up her phone without a word. The photos stared back at him like a knife. "I can explain," he said, instantly stepping back. "Please, Simone, just come inside. Let's talk." She walked in like a ghost. The apartment that had once felt like a second home now looked foreign, tainted. Every surface felt like it had been touched by betrayal. Mason closed the door behind her. "I didn't know it was her," he said. "Not at first. The first time..." Simone cut him off. "How many times?" He hesitated. "4, maybe 5. I lost count." She felt like vomiting. He kept talking desperately. "I thought it was you. That first night. Then, I started noticing little things. The way she touched me. Her voice. I thought I was losing my mind." "But you never said anything," she whispered. "Because by the time I figured it out, it was too late. I didn't want to lose you." Simone laughed, sharp and hollow. "You didn't want to lose me? Mason, you cheated on me with my twin sister. You didn't just betray me. You let her become me." He reached for her hand. She pulled away like his touch burned. "Don't." She turned to leave. "Simone, I love you," he said. She paused at the door. "Then you should have known the difference." Sienna arrived 20 minutes later. Simone was already gone. Mason didn't say anything when she walked in. He was still sitting on the couch, staring into nothing. Sienna sat beside him. "She knows?" He nodded. "And?" "She's done." Sienna swallowed. "So, what happens now?" Mason turned to her slowly. "Now I ask you the same question." Sienna smiled, but it didn't reach her eyes. "Now we stop pretending." Simone didn't answer Sienna's calls for days. She ignored texts, blocked her on social media, told her firm she was working from home. But Sienna didn't give up. One night, Simone arrived at her apartment and found Sienna sitting on the front steps, smoking. "You really thought you could hide from me?" Sienna said coolly. "I'm not hiding," Simone replied. "I'm erasing." "You think deleting me from your life fixes this?" "No, but it's a damn good start." Sienna stood up slowly. "We were always going to collide, Simone. You just didn't want to see it. You always wanted the perfect life, the perfect man, the perfect lie. You're sick. No. I'm awake. I saw him. Really saw him. And he saw me too. Simone took a step forward. If you ever come near me again. What? Sienna leaned in. You'll report me? Simone's voice dropped to a whisper. Try me. Then she turned and walked inside. The next day, Simone opened an anonymous email account. She contacted a private investigator named Levi Haskins, someone her firm occasionally used to vet high-profile clients. She wasn't looking for gossip. She wanted proof. Every date, every email, every message. She wanted to document everything. If you're asking me to dig dirt on your own sister, Levi said over the phone, I need you to be honest with me. How far are you planning to take this? Simone's voice was flat, to the edge. Then you hired the right guy. Within 2 weeks, Levi had compiled a damning digital portfolio. Messages between Sienna and Mason, deleted photos, video footage from a parking garage showing Sienna entering Mason's building while Simone was supposedly out of town. But it wasn't just about catching them. It was about taking something from them. Simone sent the file, anonymously, to Mason's firm, where he was being considered for a senior partner position. The firm prided itself on integrity and zero tolerance for scandal. Within a week, Mason was called into HR and quietly placed on unpaid leave. A month later, he was fired. Mason called Simone in a fury. You ruined my life, he shouted. You destroyed everything I built. No, Mason, Simone said calmly. You did that the moment you slept with someone who shares my face. Next, she turned to Sienna. Simone knew their older sister, Corinne, was in the middle of a brutal custody battle over her daughter. Sienna had been helping babysit. But Simone also knew Sienna's drinking had gotten worse. She made an anonymous call to Child Protective Services, claimed Sienna was unstable, that she drank around the child, left her alone for hours. An investigation was launched. Corinne was furious. Sienna was blindsided. You think you're clever, Sienna said when she finally cornered Simone in the parking garage of her building. You think this makes us even? Simone didn't flinch. I'm not playing for even. I'm playing for done. You always wanted to be the victim, Sienna spat. Now you're just a villain pretending to wear a halo. Better than being a sociopath in lipstick. Sienna lunged. Simone didn't move. She wanted her sister to see it, how little fear she had left. You come near me again. I will press charges, Simone said. Sienna backed off. You think this is over? Simone didn't answer, because she knew it wasn't. 2 weeks later, Simone woke up to a knock on her door. Police. A suicide note had been posted online under her name, paired with photos of empty pill bottles. Friends had reported it. The paramedics broke in. Simone was fine, sleeping. But the note? It was written in her handwriting. Sienna had forged it. The officer was sympathetic but firm. Ma'am, you need to consider filing a restraining order. She did. But part of her wondered if it would matter. Things spiraled faster than either of them could contain. Sienna posted cryptic threats online. Simone responded by leaking Sienna's nude modeling portfolio to a conservative employer Sienna was courting. Sienna slashed Simone's tires. Simone had her phone number spoofed and used it to send threatening messages to one of Sienna's exes, triggering a restraining order against her. Friends stopped picking sides. Everyone pulled away. It was too toxic, too ugly. Family was divided. Corinne refused to speak to either of them. Then one morning, Simone was driving down I-95 when her brakes failed. She swerved into the median, narrowly avoiding a three-car pileup. The mechanic said the brake lines had been cut. She filed a police report. But there were no fingerprints, no surveillance footage, no direct evidence. Still, Simone knew. It had Sienna's signature all over it. That night, she changed her number, hired a locksmith, packed a bag, called a realtor. It was over. Whatever fantasy they had once lived in as sisters, twins, reflections of each other, it was gone. Now, they were enemies. And there was only room for one. Chapter 3. The Shattering. It had been 16 days since the incident on I-95. 16 days since Simone's world narrowed to shadows, locks, and eyes over her shoulder. The police had filed the brake tampering as a suspicious mechanical failure. But without proof, no charges could be filed. No arrest, no justice. Just silence and fear. Simone moved fast. She broke her lease, sold her furniture, terminated her gym membership, and withdrew from the design firm. Within a week, she had relocated to a quiet two-bedroom in Coral Springs, 2 hours north of Miami. The only person she told was Levi Haskins, her private investigator, and she swore him to secrecy. Her new life was a shell of the one she'd built. No gallery openings, no brunches, no Mason. Just long walks alone, white noise apps at night, and a small emergency knife tucked into her pillowcase. She didn't cry. Not anymore. She hadn't heard from Sienna. And that, more than anything, terrified her. Simone started therapy. The counselor, a sharp woman named Dr. Levins, didn't push. Instead, she asked a single question on the first day. Do you want to heal, or do you want revenge? Simone sat in silence, then finally replied, both. Dr. Levins only nodded. Then you're not done. Mason reached out 6 weeks later. A letter, handwritten, no return address. Simone recognized the slanted cursive immediately. I know I have no right to contact you, but I've lost everything. My job, my reputation, my dignity. All because I couldn't tell the difference between two sisters. But Simone, I swear to you, it was always you I loved. I was weak. And Sienna knew exactly how to manipulate that. I'm sorry. I'll always be sorry. She read the letter once, then again, then burned it over the sink. Then came the call. It was a blocked number. Simone almost didn't answer, but instinct took over. Hello? The voice on the other end was ragged, almost unfamiliar. Did you miss me? Her stomach turned to ice. Sienna, you disappeared. You made it impossible to stay. A pause, then laughter, dry, humorless. I miss you. You tried to kill me. No, I didn't, Sienna said softly. If I wanted to, I'd have finished the job. Silence. Where are you? Simone asked. Somewhere you can't find me. Good. I still dream about him, Sienna whispered. Sometimes I wake up and forget which of us he loved. Simone's voice was a blade. Neither. He didn't love either of us. He loved the version of us we let him see, the one we performed. Sienna said nothing. Then the line went dead. Simone stared at the phone, heart pounding. Weeks passed, then months. No more calls, no more emails, no more Sienna. Dr. Levins helped Simone rebuild her routine, morning runs, freelance design work, night journaling. Life crept back in slowly, like dawn after a long hurricane. Still, the anxiety remained. Low, constant, buzzing just beneath her skin. Until one morning in late October. Simone opened her front door and found a small package sitting on her welcome mat. No label, no name. Inside was a flash drive and a note. Play me. She plugged it into her laptop, hands trembling. There was only one video. It opened on Sienna, sitting in front of a mirror in a dimly lit motel room. Her hair was longer, messier, her skin pale, eyes bloodshot. She smiled at the camera. "Hi, sis." She lit a cigarette, exhaled. "You were always better at pretending you weren't broken." "Me?" "I wore it loud. I wore it in stilettos and lipstick. But you? You made people think you were whole. That's why he picked you." A pause. "I never wanted to hurt you, Simone. I just wanted to be you." She looked away for a second. "But now, I don't want to be anyone. Not anymore." She reached off screen. Simone screamed before the video even ended. The gunshot rang out a second later. The screen went black. Police later confirmed Sienna had been living under a fake name at a roadside motel in Ocala. The front desk clerk said she rarely left her room. She paid in cash, always wore sunglasses. There was no suicide note, just the video addressed to Simone. The funeral was closed casket. Simone didn't attend. Corinne handled arrangements, distant and cold. Mason sent flowers. Simone had them thrown away. A week later, Simone drove to a small lake she and Sienna had visited as kids. They used to play a game there, pretending the reflection in the water showed their future selves. Simone stared into the water for a long time. Then, slowly, she dropped the flash drive in and watched it sink. Months passed. The air grew colder. Life resumed. Simone moved again, this time to Atlanta. Started her own design firm. Changed her hair. Traveled. But some nights, she'd wake to the faint smell of jasmine and sandalwood. Her perfume, only she wasn't wearing any. She'd rise, check the locks, and stare into the mirror. Just to make sure it was still her looking back.